Hi, I'm Michael Sunoff, founder and CEO of HardToFindSeminars.com. For the last 5 years, I've interviewed the world's best business and marketing minds. Along the way, I've created a successful publishing business all from home from my two-car garage. When my first child was born, he was very sick, and it was then that I knew I had to have a business that I could operate from home. Now my challenge is to build the world's largest free resource for online downloadable MP3 audio business interviews. I knew I needed a site that contained strategies, solutions, and inside angles to help you live better, to save and make more money, to stay healthier, and to get more out of life. I've learned a lot in the last 5 years, and today I'm going to show you the skills you need to survive.
It's people skills, it's personal interaction. It depends on what a person has done in his or her life. What matters is how you interact with people. Basically, I learned from my father. I watched him interact with people. You know, he was a guy who could get along with most people, and I watched that. So I patterned myself after him. And the people he couldn't get along with, I learned how to get along with them as well.
Hi, it's Michael Sunoff with Michael Sunoff's HardToFindSeminars.com. The title of this interview is called The Old-Fashioned Secret to Growing Your Business and Building Trust with Your Clients. Bill Jordan used to have a lucrative business as a painter. That's why when he heard the interview with Tim the painter, he had to chime in with his advice. According to Bill, Tim has been overlooking a lot of opportunities to grow his painting business, and one of the main ones is building trust with clients. If you become like family with your clients, you'll get more work, get paid more, easily get referrals, and find that your mistakes are practically ignored. So for the next half hour, you'll hear Bill's business strategies that emphasizes the kind of people skills that are often overlooked in today's society. These skills are just as important today as they were in the past and can really set you apart from your competition. Some of the key strategies outlined in this audio are simple ways Bill endears himself to his customers, one simple phrase that will help you leverage every referral. You'll learn Bill's high-end presentation for customers and how he puts it together, how he markets it, and how he showcases the value of his business. You'll learn how Bill gets around customers who want him to throw in freebies and how he even uses that to his advantage. You'll learn how Bill goes the extra mile to show his customers that he's one of the family. You'll learn how Bill stays in his customers' mind so they never forget him. You'll learn how to make your business a one-stop shop and much, much more. Bill Jordan's business was primarily based on referrals because, as he says, it's cheaper to market to existing clients than to drum up new ones. So sit back and listen to the old-fashioned way to build a client base in a referral network. You'll be surprised at just what a difference the simple little things can make. Now let's get going. You listened to the interview I had done with Tim the painter, and after I talked to Tim, he was a very detailed, methodical painter. When we looked at what he was making and we compared with the hours that he was putting in, we calculated he was working alone for about $5 an hour, and he was frustrated. And you had listened to the recording, and you saw some things that were being overlooked. And why don't we go over a couple of those things? I don't know if you can remember. Maybe we can just talk about your experience as a professional painter, and there is a difference between a professional painter and just someone who hangs up their shingle and says, I'm in a painting business, would you say?
Well, yeah, but I mean, the guy who starts out in the back of his car, he can evolve to be professional. It takes time.
How did you start out?
Well, my father was a painter, and I started out about 9 years old, and I started in the foundation of the building, and by 12 years old, I worked my way up to the first floor.
Exterior, interior, all of the above?
Both.
Did your dad have a flourishing painting business?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, it's how he put bread on the table, and he did that for 30, 40 years.
How big of a business was it?
Well, it was small, you know, maybe two people at the most. It was basically a one-man operation. And that's the thing. You know, you look at painting, you can have a one-man shop and make a lot of money, or you can have a crew. And if you have a crew, you have to have at least 9 people before you can free yourself up from painting. So you have a crew of 9 people, you have to still be on the tools. After you have 9 people, you can keep them working, then you can, you know, go out and look at the jobs yourself and become a business owner. But in Tim's situation, he's a one-man shop, and he's going from patron to patron or customer to customer. I look at my business in terms of acquiring quality people, patrons, people that I want to service. That's what people pay for. I did a lot of work in Manhattan on Park Avenue and Sutton Place. Those are high rent districts. As a matter of fact, I just want to let you know that in one day in the mid-80s, I made $1,000 painting one ceiling.
Wow.
That's right. It's a cost from the United Nations at the United Nations apartments. And these are duplexes going up and down. And the living room is very long. But the question is, how would I get there? It's about the preparation. You know, what I had to go through to get there. I used to walk up one day and say, okay, here I am, hire me to do your ceiling. You know, and I think this is the thing that we can focus on because it's the little things that add up. We're building trust. We want to build trust. That's the main thing.
Right.
If people can trust you. You don't have to be the best, but if you're trustworthy, that's what counts. If people like you, that's what counts. For example, one day I was anxious to get this job done, and I had two guys working with me. We were papering a room.
And when you say papering, putting wallpaper up, right?
Yeah. During those days, wallpaper was a big thing. But we were matching the ceiling to the wall. And it was one accent wall, and the other three walls would be a different material. So we banged it up, went to lunch, had a good time, and came back and found out that we had hung it upside down, meaning that the wall would not match the ceiling. It was going the wrong way. I was completely mortified. I'd been referred to the people by a paint store. So I went and explained what happened to the lady, and she said, well, we'll come back tomorrow. You know, we'll talk to my husband. And I came back the next day, and on the kitchen table, there was a pencil. He says, take this pencil, Bill. I says, what's that? He says, well, this pencil has an eraser on it. Erase what you did, and we'll just continue going on, and we'll deduct from what I owe you from what you did with the mistake. What I'm trying to say is that's what people look for. If they can trust you, it's okay if you make a mistake. They'll go with it. So that's the main thing. Be trustworthy. I come on time. I'm there. If you say 8 o'clock, I'm there at 7:55. I do my work. I'm neat. I'm clean. I'm cordial to you, and that's the job.
From your experience looking at one-man painters, you know, I guess inexperienced guys, what are some of the mistakes you've seen them make in maybe not building trust? Where are they falling short?
It's people skills. It's personal interaction. It depends on what a person has done in his or her life. What matters is how you interact with people. One of the things I go back to you is saying that Tim or any painting contractor should know the personality types. You should know if a person is a gregarious person, if a person is a serious person. You should know these things because then you can mirror back, almost in the neuro-linguistic programming manner. I prefer the Enneagram system myself, but these are tools that I use. But basically, I learned from my father. I watched him interact with people. You know, he was a guy who could get along with most people, and I watched that. So I patterned myself after him. And the people he couldn't get along with, I learned how to get along with them as well.
That's good. People skills is where it's at.
You know, here's another example. I was out doing a guy's job. He was a practicing Jewish gentleman. And on Friday, we have to leave early because they have, you know, the religious day. So we pulled out his credenza in the living room and painted behind there and, you know, put it back and came back Monday. And he says, Bill, I'm so impressed. It's, what happened? What happened? Well, I pulled out the credenza over the weekend because I knew you wouldn't get behind there. You had painted behind there. I'm saying, well, what would you expect? I mean, this is what I do. So those are the kind of things how I have ingratiated myself with the people.
You currently have a painting business?
No, I don't paint anymore, Michael. I just can't do it anymore. I had some, I guess, chemical reactions that affected my health, and I just can't psychologically deal with it anymore. But the interview you did with Tim just sparked something, so I reached out.
I appreciate that. I've got it here in front of me, your ideas. They're wonderful. One thing we noticed about Tim is that all he was doing was painting. And you wrote to me and said that there's other frequent opportunities that he's overlooking. Can we discuss some of them? Some of the topics here are cleaning refrigerators, window cleaning, carpet cleaning, oven cleaning, removing and placing drapes, snow removal, and gutter cleaning.
Right. See, the deal is that you want to make it a one-stop shop. You don't want them to have to go to anybody else to get those kind of services. Now, unfortunately, a lot of painting contractors don't be bothered with those items. So that's good. That means there's more room for me. They see washing windows as being something women do. They see cleaning behind the refrigerators as women's work or whatever. But it's a valuable service. Like you suggested to Tim to become a handyman. Well, here it is. You can be a handyman, but here I am saying, look, you know, I know that your refrigerator has been cleaned out behind the refrigerator or the lint in your dryer. I'll do that for you. And I'll do some windows for you, too. So when it comes time for a little job, oh, Bill, would you mind touching up the hallway? It's a little dirty. Well, you got work.
Can you remember back when painting with your dad? Was he the master at this?
Oh, yeah, he was very good. He learned from his brother. And my Uncle Jim learned from Uncle John. They were very good what they did. My father was very quick. And he worked back in the days. I remember distinctly we went on one job where the gentleman of the owner of the house wouldn't let us use rollers. Because in those days, rollers were just first coming in. And my dad, he would paint with 7-inch brush. And he would paint a whole room with that. That's how it was done back in those days. So he was very quick at that. Now, every painter has his own style. He was a quick style. Now, my style is not as quick. But the reason for that is that I give more attention to detail than he did. So my basic approach was, if I'm going to do this, I want to get paid top dollar. I want to get the most I can. Like a game you play, you know, it's like, I'm the best tailor. Well, if I'm the best tailor, I want to get the most money. So I have to make you feel and believe I'm the best tailor. How do I do that? Well, I give you the best service I can provide.
Let's take it step by step. Were you working mostly off of referrals in your painting business, or were you generating your own leads?
Well, I did both, but when I was working in Park Avenue, second place, it was all referrals.
So the referrals are pretty strong because you were already positioned as an expert, right?
Yeah. See, I created the Park Avenue business myself because what happened was my father didn't hang wallpaper. I hung wallpaper. I do decorative painting. So I went to decorators at Bloomingdale's. Bloomingdale's is a big department store. And they sell furniture and they have decorators that decorate people's homes. And I went there and I marketed to the ladies in the decorating department.
Do you remember when you first did this?
Sure, that was 1980. That's when I started doing the wallpaper stuff.
And what did you say to these ladies? Who did you seek out?
Well, there was two. It was Joan and there was, I forgot the other lady's name. Her husband was a football player. I forgot her name. But anyway, I went there and said, hey, how you doing? My name is Bill Jordan. Here's my portfolio. Check me out. I'm a graduate of professional wallpaper school. I do all these things and look at my work, man. And I said, oh, okay. So then the next day or two, I sent some flowers. And went back and talked to them again. So then they gave me a small job, a bathroom or something. I knocked that out, did a good job, and went from there.
And then, so was that a steady flow of leads for you?
Yeah, it was, with other leads as well. Now, here's the thing. One of the leads I got out of Bloomingdale's was with a lady named Judy Little. Her husband was the partner of one of the largest brokerage firms in the country at that time, Forsman Little. And that's how I got to Park Avenue, because they knew that all the people they dealt with were vice presidents of Credit Lyonnais Bank, or president of this bank, or whatever, whatever. And that's how I got to Park Avenue.
Did you actively pursue referrals, or did they just come naturally?
The thing about having contact with the decorator is that the decorators usually can lock up the whole deal. The lady in Park Avenue, she locked up the whole deal. I had no dealing with the customer on the business side.
Oh, so the decorators hired you out for the job?
Yeah. See, she controlled everything.
Okay.
Okay. The ones I got from the New Jersey Bloomingdale store, once I got the referral, the customer was mine. So it was up to me then to maintain that relationship.
Right, so that's what I wanted. So once you maintain that relationship, you would leverage that and get referrals from that relationship. Now, was that an active process, or did that just come automatically?
Well, it's both, but I learned that the way to make it happen on a continuous level is to actively pursue it. And what I did was I would have a package I'd give the consumer, the prospect, and then there would have a letter. I started off with a testimonial, and then I would say, I enjoy what I do. I've been doing it so long, and now I'm looking to work forward with you. And if I meet or exceed your standards, I would appreciate 6 referrals. And so I would find that some people, even before I started the job, would have the referrals there for me. And I would give them a percentage off of, I'd give them a percentage twice. I'd give them a certificate. See, the thing is, I treated them in a way they hadn't been treated before, as far as I know. I gave them a certificate like you would get a certificate from a department store. Here's your 15% discount coupon, Mr. Senoff. Now, for every person you refer to me who signs on, I'm going to give you 15% of that job. Or I'll give you 5% off of your next painting purchase.
For more exclusive interviews on business, marketing, advertising, and copywriting, go to Michael Senoff's hardtofindseminars.com. I got you. So the person who gave you the 6 referrals, if any of those referrals used you for painting services, they would get 15% of the job?
Well, I was only 5%. I don't know the exact number I said, but
they'd get either a discount on services or cash.
Exactly.
Stop right there, because that's very key in a referral system. There's got to be something in it for them, other than just them giving you free business. Would you think by offering them an inducement, whether it was discounted services or cash, really made that work a lot better than if you didn't?
Yeah, sure. it works because, you see, it's like, I forgot who said it, but there was some great speaker who said, everybody likes to be bribed, even the rich guys. Even if it's a dollar item, they look, I got this thing. And so now, you see, in the painting and decorating or construction industry, we have so many horrible stories about people getting abused. Where I come in and say, hey, I do all your windows, I do all this, I do all that, and I give you money back. What are they going to do? They're going to brag to their friends.
In your business, you had Bloomingdale's feeding you clients and business, and then you were generating as well your own clients through your own referral systems. Were you doing any direct mail or direct marketing to generate clients?
No, that was a foreign concept to me. Didn't do that. We had ads in the paper, but that didn't really work out well. There was so much competition in the paper. See, the area in which I lived at that time was Bergen County, New Jersey. It's a very affluent area. A lot of competition. A lot of guys in the newspaper. So I discovered the best way was once I got someone, once you get that person, it's cheaper to market to that person than to try to get a new person. So I would always market to my existing clientele.
There was no direct mail generation, no cold calling, and it was all referral business.
I didn't call people on the phone, but if I saw some activity in the neighborhood, I'd go over and introduce myself. But no cold calling, no mailing.
Right, let's talk about referral business that was referred, other than the Bloomingdale's referral. You go into a home, they were referred by one of your previous clients. When you go in there, they're there for you to do some painting, but you're there for a different reason. What else are you looking for in that home other than what they need at that time, painting-wise?
Well, once again, it's client acquisition. We're looking further down the road. We're not just looking for, okay, here's a job. Let's see how we can get in and get out as fast as we can and make some money. We want to say, okay, how can we leverage this situation into continuing our efforts? How can we prosper? How can we make more money?
Do you let the client know that you do more than just painting?
Well, yes. See, it's a very subtle thing, you know. Even if you have a referral, it's always you have to resell yourself again, right? So each person's different. Each person has different needs. So I don't take it for granted because I have a referral that I have the job. I go in, and my standard approach basically is to make that person feel comfortable. And I will try to acknowledge something wonderful about their home, a piece of art or whatever. You know, we start chatting about that. But as you go through the home, as we go through the assignment, I start showing them different things that have not been done or need to be done, which they can use to distinguish me from someone else who they may be considering.
Give me an example.
Well, okay, for example, many times you can look at, say, your baseboard in your home. I'm sure you have a well-done home. But if you look at your baseboard, there may be gaps between the baseboard and the molding at the bottom.
Right, the wall.
Yeah.
Yes.
So now if you see that, I say, oh, wow, do you see that over there? Look at that. Of course, you know we're going to fill that up with coffee. That's not going to look like that. That's not what we do. Give you a complete custom job, Mr. Senoff. And, you know, it's just part of the general package. And by the way, what I'd like you to do, well, if I leave, take the package and review all our procedures. There's like 30 steps that I go through preparing your room. 30 steps? Yeah.
Talk about the package. You come in pre-prepared to each client with a package. What is this package? What does it consist of? Why do you have it? And what's in it for you by having it?
Well, what's in it for me by having it is it's almost like no one does it. How do you know what's a good job? You don't really know. I could come in with a nice truck. I could be referred. But you don't know what I'm going to really do in your home. So I came across a situation. I said, look, let me put down what I'm going to do step by step.
Was it something your dad was doing or you came up with?
No, he wasn't doing that.
Okay, so you came up with this.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I said, well, look, let me break it down. You know, the different painting finishes. We have a high gloss, we have an eggshell, we have different finishes that we can use. And each one has a different effect. And each one is called for in different locations. So I'm going to explain that to you. Here's one that I always get them on. LRV, light reflectance value. Take your standard paint chart. Look at the color on there. See, those colors are matched by numbers from a scale from 0 to 100. And I would say, well, this color here has a 66 LRV value. And, you know, it might be too dark for your room. I would recommend something like maybe 78 or 80. Huh? What's that? Oh, where'd you ask? So I'm showing that I'm different, I'm unique, I know stuff.
What's some more? These are good.
Now, what we do is, like, getting back to the written stuff. Okay, we do the different finishes. Then, you see, when we set up your room, as an art to setting up the room, everybody knows you put this furniture in the middle of the room. Everybody knows that. But now, I'm going to put that down on paper for you. I'm going to put down on paper, let's say you have hardwood floors. What am I going to do for your hardwood floors? Everybody puts down drop cloth. I'm going to put down paper first, rosin paper.
Why?
Why? Because you see, the drop cloth on wood, they slip. And what happens is they can slip and dust, first of all, and then paint can get on your hardwood floor. You don't want that. Of course, we go out and clean up, but we don't want to do that. Waste time for me. So what I do is I invest time, and I tape the paper to the edge of the room all the way around. Then I'll put like a 2-mil plastic sheet, cover your furniture, and tape that to the paper. So now there's no dust getting on your furniture. Then I take the drop cloths and put them down over the paper. So now we're covered, because when we sand in between, you know, first you sand down, you wash the walls. Then, you know, you take the drops out, you shake them, put them back down, put your first coat, you sand, do the same process. Every painter is different. Everyone has his own technique. But this is what I write down for you to see. So now you're saying, oh, wow.
So you're going over what you are going to be doing in their home. You're showing them your process. You're involving them in the process.
Of course, yes, right. And then if I say at any time, Mr. Senoff, if there's something you see that you don't like, if you're not comfortable with, please let me know.
Tell me what else you're showing them.
The main thing is it's like there's a list. Well, I have a book also. I'll get to that in a minute. But there's a list of things that I show. You know, taking off the light fixtures, taking off the doorknobs, taking off your curtains. And we put all these things in plastic bags and put them in a safe place, see, so we don't lose them. And then, of course, once we do that, then we go into the steps of preparation, the types of preparation we're going to use. We sand the walls, we plaster, we spackle, whatever we have to do. One of the things here is, like, for your information, what is a finish? That's what we're talking about, high gloss, semi-gloss, eggshell, flat. I tell you what the benefit is for each one, the caveat, how to clean each one. That's important. Now, at the end of the job, as far as cleaning, I give you a bottle of Simple Green. Simple Green is a biodegradable cleanser. I want you to use that. It's free of charge, Mr. Senoff. You can get rid of a lot of those toxic chemicals you have under your kitchen sink and use this if you like.
That's a nice touch, yeah.
The ladies like that because it's free. We've got the standard work procedures. You know, we have general procedures for pre-preparation. You go through them. We have standard preparation procedures, include 30 of those, standard application procedures, how we're going to apply the stuff, ceilings, walls, windows, trims, baseboards, in order, how we do that. All that's right there for you to see.
Are you going through all this with each customer, or do some customers, they don't care, they just say, let's just do the job?
I don't really go step by step. I just go generally, and if someone wants to know, I'll say, okay, well, you know, you can check the package, and you can check it out for yourself. But this is what we do. You'll find it very thorough, and when they look at it, they say, wow, yeah, good stuff.
This is what separates you as a professional from all these amateurs out there. An amateur will just show up with this stuff and say, I'm ready to get going. They'll offer nothing.
Well, what they do is they show with a clipboard, and they'll walk around and take notes. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you make your presentation, this is what I do.
It's a higher-end presentation.
Yeah, and what I do is I write my contracts on a parchment paper. It's gold, and that gives it an aged look. It gives it a look of quality, authenticity, right? And then I'll give them a copy of the proposal/contract, and I'll have written across it, review copy. I took time to figure this out.
Do you think you generally could get more for your jobs than your competitors?
Sure. Yeah, because I'm creating value. I'm creating value that says, well, you know, the other guys didn't even mention this. They don't do that. See, what I'm saying, this is an intangible. I'm selling you on something you can't see. So I have to give you something that you can relate to. It's like copyright, but if you're doing it right in front of somebody.
Right. You're painting the whole picture for them, even before you put that first paint on their wall.
Exactly. Then, let's say there's a person who's a little reluctant. Hey, no problem, Mr. Senoff. I understand how you feel. I would feel the same way if I were in your situation. But here's what I can do for you. If you want, what I'll do is I'll do a test room for you. If you like it, we continue. If you don't pay me.
Does that work every time?
Of course it does. How are you going to turn me down? It's free if you don't like what I do. You know that room is going to be the best room in the whole job, right? I can't afford not to win on that one. The only way it doesn't work is when it's a personality conflict. See, in those cases, I don't usually take jobs when I feel that there's going to be a personality conflict.
Right, and you can get an idea right away.
Yeah, there's a gut feeling.
We'll come back to that, but we were talking about selling other services is a very subtle thing. And I went into this package, you're creating value. I think that's great. Now, as you're in there selling your value, are you closing right there before you do any of the work?
No, here's how I do it. okay, so we're painting your office, right, blah, 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 blah. You know, Mr. Senoff, I noticed that door, the hallway coming to the office, you know, it's kind of grungy. If you don't mind, I'd like to freshen that up for you. You can say, yeah. I'm going to say it's no challenge.
All right.
I got you in a situation that I'm creating added value.
But have you told me how much my office is going to be?
Well, yeah. We've already signed the contract. Well,
when you come in with that package, are you ready to paint that day?
No.
You're on a sales call.
Yeah, we're just getting acquainted.
Got it.
And I say, I'm letting you know, I'm painting the picture, what I'm going to do for you. And then I'm going to say, hey, why don't you check out my package? I'm going to leave this with you. Everything I said to you is in here. And you can check it over. So you're going to look at it. One lady told me, she says, the reason why I hired you is because of your presentation. I believe what you do.
Got it. Okay. Then they call you back. They sign the contract, and then you go in,
right,
and you're looking at their door. You're going to do the door at no charge. All right. Let's take it from there.
Okay. So we do the door at no charge. Now, here's the thing. Some people are known to want freebies, and I don't give freebies unless I want to. So what I do, because my dad, he went through a lot of those. People always want stuff into the job. They want stuff for free. We've done enough. I don't want to do that. I don't like that. So what I do, I have in my contract, I have a change order clause.
Tell me about that.
What that means is, if you want me to do something outside the original scope of the job, I'll be happy to do it. But I put a heavy price on it so that it'll make you think twice before you ask me to do it. But what I do is, if it's reasonable, I'll say, you know, we have a change order clause, Mr. Senoff, and that's like $50 an hour plus materials. But you know what? Since we're here, we'll just knock it off for you. No charge. How about that?
Give me an example.
We're in your office, right?
Yeah. Let's say you're about done with the job. I say, hey, Bill, can we do this window here? I know it wasn't in the original contract, but can we do this window here?
Well, yeah, I'm sure we can. But that goes under the change order clause, and that's $50 an hour. But, you know, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it for you.
All right, so you'll take care of that for me.
Right.
You'll give it to him.
Right. Now, what this adds up to is, you see, it's adding up to another thing to do in the house. See, because now, see,
they owe you.
Not only that, but it lowers the defenses, because people are defensive. See, painters have a unique situation. You can be in someone's home and be very intimate with them, more intimate than most people in their lives. If you're doing someone's bedroom, that's one of the highest level of intimacy there is.
Yeah, that's true.
So all this plays into the approach. It's an organic thing. It's not like step 1, 2, 3, 4. Like, you have to do this, you know, like Michael Jordan. You have to just go to the hoop, and whatever comes up, you got to move. So it's like that. But these are the things that I've developed, I use to help me stay in the game longer.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I can relate, you know, when we had our bathroom redone and you got the tiler in there and in your house at all hours and, you know, your family's home and the kids are running in there. Yeah, they're like part of the family while they're there.
And so that's quick another tip. See, like, on garbage day, when your garbage is taken out, I bring your garbage can back to the curb. When it's snowing, you don't have snow out there, thank God. If it's not too bad, I will shovel your walkway.
You get a little to get.
I'm a good guy.
What are some other services that you've sold over the years?
But here's one that's really great. For painting contractors who do homes, exterior or interior, see, over here, there's two times of the year when the gutters are clogged with leaves, you know, in the fall and then in the spring. So those are two times that you can count on extra money that you don't have to even market for. I mean, it's there. You sign these people up to an annual contract. $300-$400 a year, whatever it is. You can clean the gutters twice a year.
Did you do a lot of that?
Yeah, you don't have to lift a paintbrush. My father used to do it, and I said, well, this is nasty work. I don't want to do this. But I realize now what it was. It's a way, if you do it systematically. He didn't do it systematically. But if you sign them up to a contract, when you do it twice a year for whatever the fee is you agree on, you're always there. You got that money. You're always in their face. It keeps you in the family.
Got it. Okay, so it keeps you in front of them, and then, of course, that gives you another opportunity for more painting or additional work.
Exactly.
All right, so from gutters, what can you go to then next?
This is good for, like, young guys, you know. Driveways. Driveways are usually asphalt. So within 3 to 5 years after they've been laid, they should be treated to keep them from cracking. So you go to Home Depot or wherever you go out there to get that stuff, a couple of cans of driveway sealer, you knock it out.
Did you do a lot of that?
Yep, $200, $300, whatever it is. It's a way of leaving the job. And see, like, when you leave your job, you do the driveway, it makes the whole house look better.
How long does it take you? Is it a pretty quick job?
Two guys, you knock it off, start at 8, you knock off at 12, 11, 30. Depends on the driveway.
What are some other things? That's great. Gutters, driveway, sealant, what else?
Well, you know, it's like I say, the windows, the stuff inside, the refrigerator, the dryer. I never got into doing floors. I didn't do floors, but people could expand to that level as well. And then also you could have a cleaning division to your company, but I never did that. But those were the things I did, and they worked well for me to keep me going. But what they would lead to would not only be the painting, but it would lead to other decorative services, such as decorative painting, wall glazing, marbleizing. These are the things that, you know, once you get in there, you can add on as well. You can flip it the other way, too. If I'm going to do a wall glazing for you, I'm going to say, well, Mr. Sinoff, you know, I have to time these walls out first. You know, there has to be a certain finish on the wall first, and that needs more money in my pocket. So all these things build on each other.
Right. It's kind of like, what does a shoe salesman sell? Most people will say shoes.
No, he doesn't.
He sells everything but the shoes.
So in pain, what we're looking to do is do exactly that, the way I approach it. It's not about the brush or the paint. It's about how I come to you. It's who I am with you, how we be together. And I think that's the thing that's so important and necessary when a tradesman goes out into the environment. It got to a point with me where I wrote a little book.
Tell me about it.
Well, it's called The Hidden Secrets of Masterful Painting and Decorating.
When did you write it?
2000.
Okay.
And you would think that that was about painting. It's not about painting. Not at all. It's about my philosophy on life and how you can look at my philosophy on life, see who I am, and use it in your life if you so choose. And I give it to people and they say, wow, man, you should publish this book. This is good. So that's what I did. And everyone's different. And a lot of guys think that that approach is too artsy-fartsy or too soft, but that's my approach. That's how I look at life. And the thing is that every contractor has a set of people that they can relate to. There's always work for you if you're willing to cultivate that relationship.
Right. Does your book talk more about life, or does it talk about your painting business?
No. Well, here's one. You know what a Ronin samurai is?
What samurai?
A Ronin.
No, I know what a samurai is.
Well, during the Tokugawa period, there was a time when the lords couldn't afford the samurai, so they let some of them go. They were called Ronin samurai. They were looking for a new master. So I have a quote that says, well, how much do you pay a master painter? Well, I say, well, they're like Ronin samurai. It's foolish to pay them too much, but it's unwise to pay them too little. Because, you see, if you pay them too much, then you have no control over them. But if you don't pay them, then their sword may come out and might do bad things to you.
Right. They'll feel like they're taken advantage of.
Right. So it's the same thing with this. You see, people want to know, well, how much are you worth? How much do I pay this guy? Well, it's foolish to pay them too much, but it's unwise to pay them too little.
Yeah, I had a guy call me yesterday. He wanted me to do some audio interviewing services. And I've talked to the guy before, and I told him it's $2,000. He goes, well, can you do it for $1,000? I go, you don't want me to do it for $1,000. Because if I do it for $1,000, I'm going to be resentful, and you're not going to get my best work. Pay me what I'm asking for. You'll get me at my best because I feel good about the deal.
I'm glad you brought that up because that's at the heart of this situation. Some people want something for nothing, it seems. Other people are very, could I say, fearful, mistrustful, having been taken advantage of. So there's a fine line where I have to walk. I don't want to be taken advantage of, but I have to do the best I can. I want to prosper and do well. So I devise these techniques by necessity.
Right. You did talk about how Tim could price his jobs a little bit more efficiently. Can you talk a little bit about that? If you were talking to Tim, I think he was underpricing himself.
Yeah, well, I listened to that because he was saying he was getting $1,200 a week by himself. I said, well, $1,200 a week, what's it cost him? You look at 25% for materials, 25% for labor, that would give him a profit. Well, he was close to $700. So I was a little confused about that, but here's how I look at it. How much does it cost you to run your business a day?
The person has to look at what does it cost to run his business.
Right. So, like, it's X, whatever X is. Let's say you live in a prestigious part of San Diego. It's a higher rent district.
Right.
Well, if I'm a painting contractor living in your district, I'm at a disadvantage when I'm competing against a guy who lives in a lower rent district, right?
Right.
Because his overhead is less. His rent is less, right?
That's correct.
Well, let's say, you know, I live in your district. My daily nut is $500 a day. Well, I got to get at least $501 to make a profit on your job. If I can't see myself getting that, then why would I take your job? And other guys, what they'll do is they'll go in and they'll do square foot, blah, blah, blah. I'm not a square foot guy. I go in and say, it's going to take me this amount of time. I can do a good job. It's going to take me 3 days or 4 days. This is what I need a day. That's the job.
Just look, the ideas we covered in this is extremely valuable for any service guy. It's a totally different way of looking at their business.
See, I'm a little different because, not because that I'm a college graduate, that has nothing to do with it. It's just that my sensitivity is that I think you should relate to people better. In other words, I would not come to your home wearing construction boots in your house. I would take my boots off at the front door. Why? Because it doesn't feel right. Because I respect your home. And I know psychologically that separates me from other people.
Just by some of the small things you do, whether you bring the garbage can to the curb when you're coming in, or when you would knock on the door, you go, here's your paper, or you take your boots off, or these small things that are so easy to do and so overlooked can mean a huge difference for business and relationships with their customers.
In closing, there was one account I had, high rent district, up there where Nixon used to live. And I'm competing against this guy who is a classically trained painter, Mr. Flanagan, let's say, from Ireland. And the lady's used him before, you know, he can do all types of sketching and this and that and the other. I can't do any sketching. But I figured out the best way to disarm her by doing this. It was a garage. And you go from the garage into the kitchen through a lobby or a foyer upstairs, and you turn to the right into the bedroom. Every day, I would cover that distance with clean drop cloths. And every day, I'd take them down.
Oh, because you'd be going up and down that path.
Yeah, even if I didn't.
Even if you didn't.
Right, to put it in her mind that I'm a clean, neat guy.
Yeah.
So now, at the end of the job, she says, Bill, you're the neatest painter I've ever had in my house. Yes. Oh, it does.
That's great.
So those are a few of the things, and you know, I just appreciate the time you've given me to share with the community.
That's the end of my interview with Bill Jordan. I hope this was helpful. Please keep listening to more interviews at hardtofindseminars.com. For more interviews like this, go to hardtofindseminars.com.